everybody. Welcome back to the Third Coast Podcast. And I'm Joe Wadadugatis, sitting here with the one, the only, the Podfather, Taryn Sumbler.
Thank you, man.
It's been a while.
Yes, sir, man. We gave me that call, man. I was like, coming out of retirement.
Got dust off the headphones and the mic. How you doing this afternoon?
I'm great, man. I'm glad I got home before this bad weather started kicking in.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely nice inclement weather outside today, for sure.
Yes, sir, man. What's been up with you, man?
Oh, same old stuff. Just bringing in the new year with positive vibes and good expectations for 2024. Even though stuff might look bad out there, I believe it's going to be a good year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man. Always got to look at the glass half full.
Yeah. And thankful for 2023. Was a very productive year for the show. Big shout out to Chris True down there in New Orleans for inviting us to Hell Yes Fest. Big old Chuck D for helping us along the way with all the different artists and the interviews and actually sitting down and doing some shows with us. Miss Kennedy, just everybody, Koba, Cleve, you know, the whole family, the whole gang. But we're here to tackle the newest episode. And you know what I told myself? I was like, Joe, don't forget what number the episode is. And you know what I did? I really did forget what number this is.
Like 218, 219, right?
219, yeah, 219, because 218 was Stirring the Pot with Durange. Love you, bro.
Been keeping up, man. Been keeping up.
I see that. You're keeping up better than I am. That's a damn shame. But there's a lot of stuff going on in the world, and we're going to tackle a few of these topics. We got a lot of information going to be flowing on this episode. Just bear with us. But the craziest thing, Terrence, the information bombshell has finally came out.
Yes.
And we are here to talk about it.
Yes.
So I know that this probably ain't the first time y'all heard it, but the Epstein list has came out with all the people that has been noted in court documents surrounding the whole island of debauchery.
Epstein Island.
Yeah. And everybody knows Epstein killed himself in prison, in 2019, 2020-ish? Somewhere around there. Yeah. So it's been a few years since all this has been transpiring, but Terrence has got the big old list. It's like three pages. We're not going to get everybody, but we're going to hit some major ones and maybe discuss them.
Right. As of course, Ghislaine Maxwell, former girlfriend, we know that. Prince Andrew, he's been out there. Bill Clinton, Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton. David Copperfield.
See, that one kind of shocked me.
Right. Alan Dershowitz. It was his lawyer.
Of course, he was there.
In 06. Leonardo DiCaprio. And again, people, we do not know. They have been on the island specifically. It's just people that he's been associated with.
And, throughout the years and names that have came up and stuff like that.
Al Gore.
Man Bear Pig.
Richard Branson. Stephen Hawking, Michael Jackson, Kevin Spacey, George Lucas.
Can we go back to the Steve Hawking one right quick?
Yeah.
What was he doing out there?
I do not know, Joe. Oh, man. Cate Blanchett. If y'all know, that's an actor. Naomi Campbell, where she's come out and said she was never around anything suspicious.
Yeah. Yeah, we bet.
Bruce Willis. Bruce.
Yeah, got Uncle Bruce, huh?
Cameron Diaz. Chris Tucker. Whoa.
There's some heavy hitters on there.
Yeah, that's what Cat was saying that the other day. Yeah. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., American politician and conspiracy theorist. But let me speed it up. Don't know none of these people.
Yeah, as y'all can see, viewers on YouTube, there is a mountain of list.
Yeah. Detective Joe Ricari, a former Palm Beach police officer who investigated reports of sexual abuse against children by Epstein. So, hey. Dave Dave Rogers. Do not. Oh, he flew the jet for him. He is just as guilty then.
But all this information is online, and all you got to do is type in Epstein's list, and you will find the full list of everybody that's associated with this topic that we're talking about.
Alfredo Rodriguez is the name that stuck out because he is the former household manager jailed in 2012 for hiding and trying to sell Epstein's black book.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's just wild. Yeah. And you can't say that all these people did not know something. And right. I know, like, if you do some, like, deep diving, Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton went to the island, like, 20-something fucking times. And then there's other lists out there that actually have a whole bunch of other people on there, too. Like, when I was doing this list, and Charlene, you know, I sent it to her while she could print it out for me. She's like, one of the lists that she read, the Obamas were on it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it's just a scary thought that all these high-level people, they didn't know or they didn't realize what was going on. That's my ass.
Yeah, they didn't want to know.
No, they knew about it.
No, I'm saying they didn't want to know, though.
Yeah, but that's it's a scary thought that it takes all this time and effort, and then still a lot of these people will never get the true justice that they deserve. Like,
yeah, because man's off himself.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
Allegedly offed himself, but yeah. If anything, at least the island is no more. At least I don't guess. Right. I mean, I know there's no pedophile activity going on for sure there no more. Shut that shit down. So at least that's one thing. Like they stopped it, but it could have been stopped years ago. You know, you a man of like Bill Clinton, you have all that power, and you just fall into evil ways. You know, and you can't say that because didn't he get like a blowjob from
Monica Lewinsky?
Yeah, in the Oval Office or some shit.
Power corrupts. Absolute power absolutely corrupts.
It always draws me back to you have all that power and you use it for evil. It's a waste of time.
Yeah, man. Just
all them politicians and doctors and actors. But see, that's the thing with Cat Williams. He recently came out and had that whole spill with Shannon Sharp, right?
Right. Club Shay Shay? Yeah.
I seen it had like millions of views.
8 million in one day.
That's wild.
It's crazy. I think he set the record.
But would you? And I'm with Cat. You got to believe it because all the stuff that's coming out about Hollywood and
right.
the deep, dark Hollywood, like they probably did want him to give up his ass.
Right. I mean, like you can tell, like, but certain stuff might have been exaggerated just a little bit, but it has truth to it. I mean, that's like the whole thing with the. I know we're getting off subject, but you know
it's fine.
But one thing I do hold truth is like when he was talking about Bernie Mac, how like Sid and Steve Harvey was jealous of him.
You know?
And it's just like I normally never sit down and watch like a 3-hour interview, but I was all in. So
I wonder if he's going to split that up. He puts that on Spotify, or is it only on YouTube? Because some people only do YouTube.
YouTube. I think it's on Apple. And I think his podcast on Apple and all the major stuff.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure they cut a deal or something.
To make sure it's fully loaded. And we ain't getting none of them deals at Third Coast. We get an hour 15. That's it.
You hear that, Spotify? Next thing you know, it's going to be 45.
you get an email. Oh, Dean, you have been slotted to lose 30 less minutes of airtime due to content provided to this platform. And we regret to tell you that if you keep fucking up.
Fuck it, man. Go on an independent website, man. Just pay the little monthly fee. Upload wherever you want to, as long as you want to.
No, that make sure that y'all check out Third Coast at 5000w.thirdcoastpodcast.com and on all major streaming platforms, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, iHeartRadio, Pocket Cast, and yeah, all that nice jazz.
And so we go from, this is a good segue, right? We go from the list to the meeting.
The meeting?
The meeting.
What meeting?
The meeting that changed the industry forever.
What do you mean? Yeah. It's okay. So I got a little bit of information for y'all about the this is allegedly too. This is just what if rap music is just a tool to turn impressionable listeners into prison brown degenerates. That's what one man claims to be former music executive said in an anonymous letter published today by the bio blog hiphopisred.com. According to this mystery man's letter, gangster rap is a product designed to benefit private prisons. The man writes that he went to Los Angeles meeting in 1991 and immediately signed a confidential agreement. What followed shocked him and other people at this meeting. So before I dive into this long paragraph that we have going on, I like to say that they are pointing out just hip hop, but if you look in the 90s grunge era and rock and say rock music, Limp Bizkit, stuff like that, I just want to break shit. Or
just
like,
one of them days.
Yeah, you know, so it wasn't just hip. I mean, maybe a little bit more now when you look at how hip hop is produced.
Yeah.
But it's all in rock too. But the industry executives were asked to promote gangster rap in order to drive up the numbers of inmates and profits for private prison systems, which funded the business. Here's a part of the man's account of the meeting. Quickly after the meeting began, one of the industry colleagues, who shall remain nameless like anyone else, thanked us for attending. He gave us the floor to the man who, only introduced by first name, gave no other details about his personal background. I think he was the owner of the residence, but it was never confirmed. He briefly praised all of us for our success we have achieved in the industry and congratulated us for being selected as part of a small group of decision makers. At this point, I began to feel slightly uncomfortable at the strangeness of this gathering. The subject quickly changed as the speaker went on to tell us that the representative companies we represent that have invested in a very profitable industry, which we can become more rewarding with our active involvement. He explained that the companies we work for had invested millions into building private-owned prisons, and that our position of influence in the music industry would actually impact the profits of these investments. I remember many of us in the group immediately looking at each other in confusion. At the time, I didn't know what private prison was, but I was the only one. Sure enough, someone asked me what these prisons were and what any of this had to do with us. I'm guessing he's talking about his music. We were told that these prisons were built privately owned companies who receive funding from the government based on numbers of inmates. The more inmates, the more money the government would pay for these prisons. So that's what was said at the meeting. I'm going to get into that's I got a little bit more to go with that. But so anonymous letter, he's basically saying like he was set in this room and you can tell like he's hiding what he really wants to say. But what I gathered from all this was they brought him in and said, hey, we like what you're doing. We like what you're producing. You keep doing what you're doing, but keep going in this specific direction because you're driving up our investments.
Right.
So it's just wild to think because in the past, we've covered all types of different topics, especially from like the Louisiana prison system and then just private prisons. It's crazy how they want to keep everybody in jail to make money, you know? Right, it's a really big industry of just keeping people in jail. That's like the quote-unquote war on drugs.
Yeah, I mean, just think about it. It's like how when you was in Afghanistan and the stuff, say the supply job would have a bunch of the politicians, a bunch of communist politicians.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's the same thing, war and, you know, war is the biggest industry in the world.
Yep.
So, like, that doesn't surprise me because, really, but gangster rap was kind of, like, pushed to the forefront around, what, 88 NWA?
Yeah.
Well, no, Ice-T. It was Ice-T. Ice-T had it pushed in mainstream. Then it was NWA, and then you kept going on that. So, like in the early 90s, they had the Native Tongues in New York. It was like De La Soul, Jungle Brothers, a bunch of groups like that, A Tribe Called Quest, Queen Latifah, and all that. And they was making like soul for hip hop, but they didn't really push that like it was supposed to. So like you had your Tupac's, Ice Cube, Dr. Dre, Chronic, and all that, Snoop Dogg, all that. So it does make sense.
With that being, when you look at the early 80s in rap, you know, it used to be like love and more
it's
lyric.
Like party yeah. music.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it was just like a swift change. And like you look back on it, you don't think it's a swift change, but if you look at it, it was.
Well, early gangster rap was more like a commentary of what was going on.
Yeah.
It was more going on, and then like you just had, and they was like, okay, this is what people want to listen to, so we just gonna grab any old regular Joe off the street that can rap what's going on and just push them out there.
Well, then that brings me to a question for you. How do you feel about how it's represented now? Because gangster rap now is a whole different level than gangster rap back then. I mean, which Biggie and Tupac eventually felt the fatalness of beef driven, mm-hmm. but I'm just saying, like, most, it's like, skirt, skirt, come up, blow up in your face, skirt, pull up. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's all fucking gun violence.
Be honest with you, they don't really. The record companies don't care about them. They don't care if they crash out and die, because they'll probably make more money from them dying than they would be alive, because they record, because music, like, people's attention span so short now, so it's like, they, like, you can put out albums like that now. So, I mean, it's sad to see, I mean, which, it's just all about, like, some people, like, some of them just, that's all they. Some people just all they know. Some of them are fake. Some people, rappers are lying, obviously.
Oh yeah.
Some are telling a story, you know. But because me personally, like, well, it started to change for me because I was big Wayne. I was a big Lil Wayne fan. All that coming up, a little bit of Jay-Z, Jeezy. Like, I was a big Jeezy fan, Gucci Mane, and all that. But thing kind of changed for me, like, when NBA YoungBoy and Juice WRLD and all them was coming out. Like, I just. It's not for me.
NBA YoungBoy was the highest stream rapper on YouTube last year. Again, he was it last year too.
Them numbers are kind of skewed.
No, I mean, I've seen farms, like streaming farms, where they have thousands of phones just streaming.
But he sees none of that money though.
Oh yeah,
Atlanta gets all that money.
Who was it? Snoop Dogg came out and said that he had over a billion streams last year, and they only paid him like $47,000.
It's not even. I mean, that's pocket changing, and that's why you see a lot of them get away from rap.
Yep. Well, Snoop Dogg's got his hand in everything now.
Right.
I think a lot of people confuse what Snoop Dogg's really doing. I think he's just trying to leave a good image on his name when he goes out. You know, he has that the Doggy Network going on mm-hmm. with the little kids show, and he's got good healthy products pushing, and I think that's just a lot of what he's doing. I don't think it's nothing to get back, you know. Not, you know, he's always going to have his past, but he wants his future, and what people remember him the most about is his good work.
And he got that movie, I think, coming out on Amazon, I think, when he's the football coach. He's a former superstar player that becomes a coach.
I can't think. There was a movie I watched recently with Snoop Dogg in it, and he's a vampire hunter. And he wears like a cowboy hat, and
I think it's like Daylight or something. It's like him and Jamie Foxx.
Such a good movie.
Snoop Dogg doing that karate stuff.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Let's get back into it. So right now, these are the three main companies out there that own the music industry: Warner Records, Universal Music Group, and Sony Music Group control about 90% dictated of hip hop. At the same time, and two companies, CoreCivic, which is formerly the CCA Correction Corporation of America, and GEO Group, I know them very well, own almost all the private prison beds in the United States. Which connects what connects these two industries together? You may ask. Vanguard and BlackRock.
I've heard of BlackRock.
which are the largest shareholders in both media and prisons, consequently. See what's going on, Terrence? Mm-hmm. Last year, Corrections Corporation of America, CCA, is the biggest name private prison industry, contracted 48 states offering to buy their prisons. One stipulation of eligibility for the deal was particularly bizarre, and assuring by the agency partner that the agent has significant inmate population to maintain a minimum 90% occupation rate over the term of the contract. What kind of legitimacy and ethical measures could possibly be taken to ensure the maintenance of a 90% prison occupation rate? 2 months later, an anonymous email was sent to various members of the music and published industries giving account of the meeting where it was determined that hip-hop music would be manipulated to drive up private prison profits. This author, despite claiming to be a former industry insider, did not provide the names of anyone involved in the plot, nor did he specifize it. Which company...
himself was employed
as such,
the letter was largely regarded as a fraud for lack of facts.
Yeah, thank you for picking up that in. I was trying to reach for the paper paper and not move the mic too much.
I mean, what do you think? Think that meeting happened?
Oh, yeah. I think it happened behind closed doors, and I can firmly see them pushing that. And you look at just general life. They make laws to keep people in jail.
Oh, yeah.
It ain't just in the music industry.
Yeah, so, the '80s, the war on drugs and all that. Like, I think so. I was talking to an old school cat one time. They say, man, like, you get caught like one crack rock back in the day. That's like 10 years.
Yeah, harsh prison sentence. Like, and then most of the people that are, I read an article. It's like 80% of the people that's in jail for drug crimes are users, not sellers.
Right.
And a lot of them get hit with those habitual offender charges, yeah, which keep them there longer and longer. And it's a vicious cycle because you not only destroy one life, you can be destroying like kids and uncles and nieces and right, nephews.
And I think that's why Louisiana just fighting so hard to legalize marijuana, because like that's probably most of their convictions in Louisiana, keeping people in prison, is marijuana probably.
Here recently they decriminalized it. So if you get caught with anything under an ounce, I think it's 14 grams or something like that. Like 14 grams, it's a ticket.
Yeah. Now, but I'm saying they're fighting hard to like legalize.
They need to. It's legal in like 23 different states now, medically legal in over 40.
Yeah, but we're in the South though.
Oh, yeah. No.
Bible Belt.
And what's so wild about Louisiana too is like,
they can use tax money.
Yeah. They, we are the last. No, we rank last now.
Really? Yep. Mississippi jumped us?
Yes. Here recently, yes,
God
they did.
God damn!
Well, it's education, jobs, just general income of the state. It ain't a lot. It ain't a lot here. Just really, just it's Third Coast Podcast over here.
Third Coast.
At least we got that. We got the good old podcast.
That's crazy, bro.
Yeah, we're definitely the last in the state now. Oh, we do got Zion Williams, though, on the Pelicans, though.
Man,
that's good.
Send him to New York. Where you want to go, man.
Oh, I do want to talk to you about, dive into some fantasy sports. This fantasy sports is so fun. The basketball, I have fun every week with that. And it sure has been a joy, even though I've been losing here of late.
Well, come and get my get back, bro. Don't think I ain't forget you beat me twice this already this season.
I beat you twice, beat Loomis one. Me and Loomis are one for one. I had a bad week against Loomis, though. I didn't have a lot of players. I hate when, like, the other team has, like, almost the whole roster play every game. I mean, every day.
I mean, it's still not a guarantee, though, because, like, I mean, there's plenty of times I've had my full roster play, and then I might have got, like, barely 200 points out of them. I mean, people get hurt. Teams get blown out. You're going to take people out of the game and stuff.
So. Draymond Green thinks it's the NBA, the MMA out there. I had to drop him. I remember I lost to Loomis that week because of Draymond Green.
I picked him up after the season started. I'm like, I wait for him to come back from ankle injury. So, first game back, I put him in. I'm like, all right, Draymond, give me about 20, 30 points. I look, and I'm like, dang. Like, it's like 3 or 4 points. Go look, he didn't put Rudy Gobert in the chokehold. I'm like, ah.
Oh, yeah. That was at the beginning of the season.
Wait for him to come back, get kicked out, get ejected the first game back. Then I cut him after that. Then after that, he hit a –
Yeah, that's when I picked him up to fill a slot.
Yeah, that's when he hit Nurkic. When he caught him with the flailing arm.
He's supposed to come back too.
That's about another week. He's back from suspension, but they gotta get him in game shape.
You know who's disappointing out there though? Klay Thompson.
No, Jordan Poole.
Oh yeah. That's
second round. He was my second pick.
Yeah, and I had picked him up, and he didn't do nothing. That's why I dropped him later in the season.
He gave me 30 twice. The thing about fantasy sports is, people, fantasy basketball, the way I have the scoring set up, shooting is – if you have somebody just shoots the ball, you do not need them.
You need someone that can
– do everything.
Yeah. I noticed that, too, because I've had players that – had like 15 points but didn't get nothing because they don't pass or they don't steal or don't rebound.
You have the ultimate. You have two of the top four centers in the league on your team.
Yeah, I got Dee Sabonis.
You got Sabonis and you have Joker.
I picked up somebody here recently that's been dropping me hella points. I can't even think of his name off the top of my head. Yeah, Sabonis, I'm getting almost 400 points every week from them, too.
Yeah. But in other fantasy sports news, I won my work league officially last night.
Oh.
Talk to me nice.
You made any money on that? It's just the bragging rights.
Bragging rights this year. But I took my lumps during the season. You know, I'm not that much of a trash talker. You know, I usually, even if I win, like, hey, GG, good game, or you know, next time, you know.
Yeah.
It was just one of them weeks for me. You know, I'm the humble guy. But when I knew it was said and done, I won by, like, almost 100 points.
Golly.
I changed my team name. Talk to me nice. I went to work, and I just literally just throw my arms up. I'm like, please, hold your applause.
And what sport was this in?
Football.
Football?
3 running backs over 30 points with CeeDee Lamb scoring 33 yesterday.
Yeah, Dallas is looking like they might make a good run at it this year. We shall see, though.
We cheated Detroit. Last time we cheated Detroit and played Green Bay, we lost.
Don't look in the past. Look in the present.
I'm just looking. I know, but the last time we cheated Detroit and played Green Bay in the playoffs,
yeah,
we lost. So it has to come back around on us eventually.
Oh, yeah. Poor Saints out there. For all the Houdat fans, see y'all next
year. Better luck next year.
Oh, shit, they got that wrong button. Y'all be listening to that until next. Oh, man. There's so many things I could say about the Saints, but there ain't enough time. I will say one thing. I would never forget you, Rams. No call.
That was pretty messed up. Y'all, Jameis called it. Touchdown run yesterday.
You know that was Williams' first touchdown all year. Yeah,
he was a bust.
You know, my biggest thing with the Saints is, like I was telling you earlier outside, is they run like the same predictable offense all the time. They run the same run all the time. They don't switch it up. The dude stands, 5 yards back?
Yeah.
Power drive. Or maybe try to get off the edge or something.
Off tackle, yeah.
Kamara. What's Kamara going to run? On the corner, or he's going to catch a swing pass? Yeah, or a wheel route or whatever. It's predictable, and it limits their offense tremendously. And I think that Williams is a great running back, but the way that he was used in the offensive scheme was terrible. And I don't care. They should have went out there and scored 70 points on the Falcons.
Because it's the Falcons.
It's a rivalry game. You go out there and you smash them. And you seen the controversy afterwards?
Oh, yeah.
The coaches. And
guess what happened to him after he got back to Atlanta?
He got fired. Yes. But he was going to get fired anyway. Because that was his third losing season in a row. The same record all 3 seasons.
I don't know. I think if they would have kept it close, and like, I would give him one more year. But losing 48-17 to your rival, the Saints in New Orleans, like, hey, buddy, Don't even get on the plane. Take commercial flight home. You're no longer part of this organization. You know how many coaches they should have done that to? The coach from the Chargers.
Yeah.
Commercial flight.
And you know what's not to be too much into football on the show, but I think Bryce Young got the shaft of the deal because
he got the short end of the stick.
They have no offensive line at all. I mean, the Saints offensive line sucks, but Carolina's offensive line is garbage. It's Basero. Oh, I still speak Spanish too, Terrence.
I mean, it's just a work in progress, man. I mean, obviously, you're not going to have your number one pick this year because you changed to Chicago, but damn, they did lose their number one pick.
Yep. Tough.
They traded up to get Bryce.
Yep.
But
it's going to be a long way for them.
I mean, even for him, even you can say that for like guys like Justin Fields.
Yeah, he had a good run at the end of the year. Five games before they lost last night.
Yeah, that team needs a lot of offensive line help. Teams like Seattle, Las Vegas. I mean, there's a lot of teams that need help. New York, they need to trash their whole offensive line. But we'll get into that another day, maybe.
You know what is cool? Is it this year the new NCAA comes out, the college football?
Yes. Hopefully we get a preview of it tonight for the game, during the national championship game. This has been, 10 years?
Oh, yeah, it is supposed to come out tonight.
Hopefully, everybody's hoping for a trailer tonight or something, but it's been 10 years. I still play NCAA football 14. Well, was playing it the other night, but can't wait. Like, pre-order, it's going to be pre-order. I don't care. As long as it don't play like Madden, I'm cool.
Yeah, I'm really excited. What kind of system you got?
Xbox Series S.
So is that that thing looks, what's got a terabyte in it?
No, 500 gigs.
Oh, I've been playing on the PlayStation 5. That thing right, you know, it has a built-in microphone and has a speaker on it too.
On the controller?
On the controller.
Yeah, man, it's just something about it. Xbox superior system.
Well,
that's another order I make for another day.
Yeah, well, the only reason I went PlayStation this time is because I no longer have the Steeljaw account. They wouldn't let me recover it. Tough.
20 years.
Nah, it's whatever. But yeah. I just wanted to give a different system a try.
Right.
The PlayStation has got a beautiful picture on it, though. And
yeah, if you get the right, which I ain't all about into getting the right TV and all that for it, but they say you get the right TV and stuff for it. The graphics do look good.
Yeah, I recently got my TV in my living room last year. It's 72 inches or stuff, but this is the first system or anything I had that could run with it at its full capacity, that 4K bowl, whatever the hell it is. Mm-hmm. It looks good. I just sit there and watch the kids play. What's that game? Gotham Knights, where you can be Red Hood, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Batgirl,
yeah, I got
and stuff.
That one. Yeah,
man, the picture is so cool on that. Right. And I know I'm getting old. I remember just playing old school Halo and stuff. And I go back and look at clips or play some of them old games in the shed, and I'm just whoo, it came so fucking far, video game wise.
I still haven't beat Halo 5.
Really?
Nope.
It ain't that good.
I'm stuck on a part.
What part?
I was going somewhere.
Are you playing on the hardest difficulty, or is it on the medium difficulty and can't get it?
It was on the hardest, but I put it on easy and I still get clapped. I don't know. I had to show you. I had to show you one day.
All right. That reminds me of the old Gears of War, playing it on the hardest difficulty. You had to hide from the krill.
Yeah.
That was
actually one game I could be on the hardest difficulty.
What, Gears?
Gears.
I liked every, besides that Gears tactic game, the last one they came out with, I liked all of them.
Yeah,
it's something about chainsawing,
right,
locusts in half.
I think after 3, it just fell off for me.
Oh, no, it's still, it's kind of like
The story fell off.
The
gameplay-wise, it's still immaculate.
When they killed,
Dom.
His name? Dom, yeah, I almost cried when that shit happened.
Right.
I said, this game about to make me fucking
cry.
Yeah,
because we've been on a journey with Dom the whole way. But after he found his wife dead, man, he didn't have nothing to live for, man.
Nah.
Yeah.
Then he, drive a big explosive truck
into something. Yeah.
Hey, you got to go. That might as well be the way you go out, huh?
With an explosion.
Oh,
we got one more, huh? We got
yeah,
one more.
You want to read about the Nazis in the UK?
Yeah, but a UK podcast pair jailed for neo-Nazi series incitement to terrorism. Disseminators of Nazi content sentenced to 7 to 8 years in jail after calling for violence against minorities, promoting anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, to nearly 1,000 subscribers. Two men behind the neo-Nazi podcast series encouraged, wait, just double back and read it, Christopher Givens, 40, and Tyrone Patton Walsh. That is a black name.
whoa, Tyrone Patton Walsh.
Tyrone.
I need to get pictures going. See, that's why, like, one day here soon, it'd be a green screen, and we'd be like, look at these assholes. It's two big, heavy set, double chin,
white
supremacist looking motherfuckers.
Both from London were convicted of terrorism offenses last July following a trial in the British capital, the Metropolitan Police said. They aired homophobic, racist, anti-Semitic, Islamophobic, and misogynistic views, as well as encouraging listeners to commit violent terrorist acts. Officers from the Metropolitan Police identified the duo as the hosts and producers of 21 episodes of what it describes as a neo-Nazi podcast series. The police probe also found that Gibbons had created an online library containing hundreds of extreme right-wing texts and other material. He was sentenced to 8 years of prison for 8 counts of encouraging acts of terrorism and 2 counts of dissemination of terrorist publications. Patton Walsh was sentenced to 7 years in prison for 8 counts of encouraging acts of terrorism. The material that Gibbons and Patton Walsh shared is exactly the kind that has potential to draw vulnerable people, particularly young people, into terrorism, said the counterterrorism commander, Dominic Murphy. I hope this case and today's sentencing sends a clear message that there are serious consequences for those who share terrorist material or encourage others to become involved in terrorism. Gibbons' neo-Nazi online library held more than 500 videos of extreme right-wing related speeches and propaganda documents, according to police. There were nearly 1,000 subscribers, and the content had been viewed more than 152,000 times. Damn. Specialist officers assessed the library and podcast episodes and found some of the material breached UK anti-terror laws. They identified 7 videos and a further document that, as well as containing extremist views, included particular imagery, rhetoric, or information that encouraged others to carry out terrorist acts. Detectives arrested the pair in May 2021, 3 months later, charged them with various terrorism offenses.
Ain't that wild.
Bro, like, it's still, like, it's crazy, like, but to be honest, we just think, though, like, World War II was, like, 80 years ago?
Yeah.
Civil rights movement in America was, what, almost 60 years ago now? I mean, it's not that long. It take a long time to get, like, to get rid of that. Like, bro, I'm the type of person, like, I don't care, like, who you are, what you look like, bro. Like, I'm going to give you the, you know, benefit of the doubt. Like, I'm going to talk with you and all that stuff. But once you start just, you know, some people do racism in, like, a joking way. They'll make, like, a little small jokes and all that. But I just, like, look, you know, I try not to overreact too much.
Yeah.
You know, I'll just walk away or just be like, hey, man, I don't want to hear that, you know?
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, me overreacting is, you know, my livelihood at stake at that point. So, but it's crazy, bro.
Yeah, and they had 1,000 subscribers.
Right.
That's wild. You know what I mean? We have 190. No, but I presented this topic because it's just wild that people get on, like, even a podcast platform and try to push this extreme view, you know, and that hate that's still out there, just that unnecessary hate, you know. What, instead of hating someone that you don't know, try to get to know them better, you know, and break down them walls and stop having all that hate that fucking, I don't know, it's just glad, that's good for their punk asses, and good job for It might be it might be the only time you hear me say this, but good job, pigs. I mean, officers.
Bacon on a tail. Ooh. Oh, man. That's crazy, though, bro. Even though they only had 1,000 subscribers, bro, that's like, just think how much that can branch out from 1,000 people to like a million people.
Yeah. Did it say how long they were doing this for? It didn't say, give it a specific time frame. No. They were recording all these episodes, but that's a lot of content. 500 extreme right wing related speeches and propaganda documents.
Yes.
That's wild. It's crazy, though, that, hey, it's the way the world works, I guess. It's terrible.
That's like I was about the insurrection. I was reading something. They picked up 3 guys the other day about that.
For the January 6th shit?
Yeah, they picking them up. Like, they ain't playing about that.
Man, I want to bring up something I listened to the other day. And this is, have you ever, you know Tiananmen Square, right?
Yes.
Do you know how many people allegedly died?
A lot.
Like 30, like the Chinese government killed like 30,000 peaceful protesters.
Running them over with tanks.
Shooting people, like just, they were shooting their own ambulances that were trying to help the wounded and stuff.
Yeah, it was no whole ball.
And then you know now in China that all that information is like deleted. Like Chinese people can't find it or anything like that. That is wild.
It's only in books now.
We're the only, like America, like, some of the United Nations are the only places that they're allowed to even talk about it. But, you know, you look at Stalingrad, what happened in Russia, you know, and look at in Bulgaria right now, the prime minister, whatever the fuck he is, the president, prime minister, whatever the hell, he gave himself immunity from any judicial subjugation.
How you give yourself immunity?
Because he's the president, the fucking overlord, dude. But
there's no democracy over there.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, when you look in American history, at least it's hard to look at it, but it ain't going to get changed. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh no, they're taking MLK and stuff out of books now.
Really?
Out of history, but yes.
Oh well, you know that? Yeah. Well, the world's spiraling down, and we're all in a lot of deep shit.
Yeah, like I don't think they do like Black history no more in school.
Really? My kids do some. They've done some stuff.
For February,
yeah. Surprising, going to Elizabeth too, of all places.
I mean, it's not here, but like I've read in like Florida and like different places in America, like they're trying, like they'll take Texas too, like they're taking like Black history out the books.
I guess we need to hold on to history as much as we possibly can. But
well, that's why I tell people all the time, like, bro, just buy books. Like, I got the Malcolm X autobiography, and like, I just buy books because you never know when they're going to take stuff off. That's why I buy physical copies of most of my stuff. Now, you never know when they're going to take stuff off the internet.
Yeah, that's very true.
You never know. Like, it's just so.
I've seen a conspiracy where they think they're going to wipe the internet one day, like, completely. Like, one day they're going to build an AI to help clean up, and it's just going to, like, completely wipe everything.
I believe it.
Like, all data about everything.
Did you see about the Tesla robot that went,
Oh, yeah.
I wish I could have seen that video, bro. I could just see him just tossing them across. I'm like, somebody help.
Well, you know, people always say that Hollywood predicts, like, gets a little insight and predicts the future. You seen the new movie, new Netflix movie coming out called Civil War?
No, I have no Netflix account.
Well, they got a new one coming out called Civil War, and it's like
seen it. Oh, about they got like the Florida
Alliance and the Texas Alliance, and the U.S. government has went rogue. And
yeah, I read a review of the trailer or something.
No, I don't think nothing like that's gonna happen.
Texas did try to succeed back in 08.
I mean, they're big enough too, and they're self-sustained state too. I think they're one of the only states that take one of the least amount of government funding, if I'm not mistaken.
They're so big.
No, I was going to say something.
Pause. I tried to play the pause game.
The what?
The pause game. The pause game. We say something like suspect.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I just try to overlook it.
just let it go. But we're doing good. We got a little bit of time left. You want to do some words of wisdom, Terrence?
Yeah. Let's see.
We should have brought back Tweet of the Week. It's been a long time since we've done
X of the Week now.
Oh, it did change.
I mean, man, I think I might have something pulled up. How much time we have?
We got about 15 minutes. 15, 20 minutes. We're 45 in. So we're in the sweet zone now.
Yeah, Tweet of the Week, man.
45 to hour 15 is like right in the money area. And while we have this little bit of break, make sure you check out Third Coast Podcast on 5000ws.thirdcoastpodcast.com on all major streaming platforms, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Cashbox, Radio Republic.
This is a good one. This is Tweet of the Week from Whitley's daughter, Loose Big. We're not...
What? Loose Big
at D Marley.
D Marley.
I knew I was meant to be fat when I tried cocaine. I was still hungry a little bit.
Whoa. Well, not gonna give no incriminating information about myself, but that's funny. We still a little hungry. On that, what's it called? The Snow White?
China White. China White, Booger Sugar.
That's just funny. It's been a while. But do you still say Twitter?
I still say Twitter. Elon, you cannot change it for me. Like, it's always going to be Twitter. Because, like, why do I say, I just sent the X? What? No, I just sent a tweet. I'm not changing it. I'm still going to call it Twitter. I wish I could change the damn thing on my phone to Twitter.
He should have went with Twitter X. That's what I would have went with.
He could have just kept it Twitter.
Yeah. Why? No, people always got touched. I mean, he did make it, so. He made Twitter, right?
No.
Just bought Twitter?
He bought Twitter.
And Twitter is just basically just a social platform. Like,
he's trying to turn it to something more, though. He's trying to make it the way you can buy stuff. You can buy a blue check now.
You can do what?
Buy you a blue check, you know how you be like certified.
Oh yeah, fuck all that. You seen he's building a big ass underground compound in Hawaii.
Him and Mark Zuckerberg just built like a $275 million bunker.
You know what they're giving us the signals?
They always know. They always ahead of the curve. They think they're thinking like years ahead.
Yeah, must be nice. Hundreds of thousands of starving people in California.
Should watch Silo, bro.
Silo.
Yeah, it's about a show. People live underground. The world and with the shit. And
they just live underground.
They think they the only side. That's a spoiler.
I'm gonna check it out.
Yeah, it's on Apple.
All right. Let's get in some words of wisdom.
Okay. My words of wisdom. I said this. I was talking to somebody the other day. I say, man, I'm gonna be more selfish. You need me to elaborate a little bit?
Yeah.
Just be more selfish, like, say no. Like, sometimes some people, like, when you're helping the same people over and over again, it's like, no.
Yeah, well, you're tiptoeing what I was thinking.
Yeah, like, no. Say no more. Like, be more selfish. Like, take care of yourself first, bro. Don't give your money away. Go get that nice haircut you've been wanting. Or go on, take that girl on a date. Or take this dude on a date you've been wanting to do. Go take that trip. Go kayaking, canoeing, go rock climbing, whatever, man. Be more selfish.
My words of wisdom is don't be afraid to cut negative people out your life. If you're always doing all the work, you're putting forth all the effort, you're doing everything that you possibly can, and someone just shows up with problems, not helpful, and you got to see where... you know, things lay, but you got to always push for what you were striving for. Don't let someone else bring you down. Always keep going harder and harder and harder.
Pause. Hey, before you do that, look at us.
What?
Look at us. Who would have thought?
Hey, we just keeping it rolling. I'm
doing
stop.
I was doing the Paul Rudd.
The Paul Rudd.
Yeah, look at us. Yeah.
Oh. So I might, hopefully I don't butcher. I should have asked Charlene how to pronounce her name.
Ani D.
Ani D is an American singer-songwriter born and raised in Queens, New York. She plays the piano and loves to experiment with different genres and gravitates towards R&B, neo-soul with some funk and indie pop influence as well, but always comes back to a dreamy, ethereal vocal harmonics. The song is Waiting Game. And
Queens, get the money.
Thank you, Terrence, the Podfather, for joining us on 219. And
no problem.
Next week, we will be interviewing, possibly, I don't know what day it is, but got some stuff lined up in the future. Y'all make sure y'all stay tuned. And for Third Coast Podcast, I'm Joe What It Do, Gata, sitting here with the Podfather, Terrence.
Yes, sir.
And make sure y'all check out this great music, and we're out.
Hey, you've got something to say, I see it in your eyes. Now I want you to know that I got time to listen, and I'll be here all week. Oh, what do you want me to know? Why do you hesitate, love? I know you're scared, but I'm scared too. I'm just waiting for you. Waiting for you. Waiting for you. Waiting for you. When you decide to come out of hiding, I'll greet you with my open arms. So come back home, where you belong. Fear will not make you strong. How can we live every day if we're too scared to open up again? You're worthy of peace, so release, fall freely in. Just here waiting for you. 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 Have you lost count of the almosts pasted on your tongue? Does the time make you braver or more likely to run? Thus, you're in a battle to be won.